We will call this meeting of the Special House Committee on Fisheries to order. The time is 10:05 a.m. Members present at this time, Representative Vance, Representative Story, Speaker Stutes, and myself, Representative Tarr. Please let the record reflect that we do have a quorum to conduct business. We do have some members attending other bill hearings at this time who might be able to join us. We'd ask members to please silence our cell phones. If you need to pass a note, please get the attention of our committee aide, Thatcher Brower. A big thank you to Shannon McCain, our committee secretary, and Madison Truitt from the Juneau LIO for their support. We just have one item on the agenda today. This will be our third hearing on House Bill 52, Tutka Bay Hatchery. This is Representative Vance's bill. So we're excited we're able to fit this in before floor today. So Representative Vance, or if your staffer, Jake, if Mr. Almeida, if you want to join us at the table, I don't know if you have any opening comments you'd like to make. As we kind of remember what we're dealing with in this bill. And let me just let everyone know, we do have Monica Alvarez from DNR, Matt Wedeking from DNR, and then Mr. Ray Bung from DNR as well.
No, Ray Bung's from Fish and Game.
Oh, I'm sorry, Fish and Game, thank you. I should know that. Representative Vance.
Thank you, Madam Chair. We just have a few more documents on the record that was provided by Sam Raybung is the contract agreement that he with the Tuck Lagoon Hatchery, so that everyone can see what the process is for accountability that the department has with Cook Inlet Aquaculture Association, and you know, more letters of support, and just wanted to make ourselves available to any more questions by the committee.
Thank you very much, Representative Vance. Mr. Almeida, anything you wanted to share? Okay. Any questions from committee members? Representative Story.
Yes. Thank you, Chair Tarr, and through the chair, Representative Vance. We have had some concerns about just maintenance and upkeep and disposal of fish carcasses and things like that around the area. Can you just talk a little bit about how you know upkeep and maintenance is happening?
If we could defer through the chair to Mr. Raybung, that he can talk about how they've handled that, and we'll continue to work with the association.
Mr. Raybung, did you hear the question?
Yes, Madam Chair, I think I did. For the record, my name is Sam Raybung, Director, Commercial Fisheries Division, Alaska Department of Fish and Game. As with all of our private nonprofit hatchery permitted operations, we have requirements and guidelines spelled out in statutes and regs and in policies. And we do periodically evaluate and review the operations of each of these hatcheries. They're required to turn in annual reports every year by statute, detailing all their operations, the number of fish they've handled and produced, everything, you know, within their permits. And if there's any anomalies or any events, they're required to turn in incident reports. And so that's all very standard operations. And we have had no issues with the operation of Tutka Bay Lagoon Hatchery.
Thank you, Director Raybung. Representative Story, any follow-up?
Just through the chair, we have heard testimony, unless I'm getting it mixed up with another hatchery, that there were some incidences of not having the upkeep as planned. So it's just curious that you do not have any on record.
Through the chair, Representative Story, I think it's a matter of perception. There are always, during the three-week period or so of spawning, you know, when adult salmon return to spawn, there are always some dead fish around, just like in wild streams. They don't all make it, and that's just part of the biology of salmon. And so I think a lot of what we've heard about the Tutka Bay Lagoon Hatchery is a matter of perception. And anybody who's been around large salmon systems, large hatchery programs, things like that, they see nothing of issue there. But other people who have not seen those things sometimes are alarmed. But the natural cycle of the salmon is that they die at spawning. And so I think that's what I heard most of the complaints about, were that people saw dead fish, and that's absolutely normal.
Thank you.
Welcome to Representative Ortiz, who joined us about 10:08. Any additional questions from committee members? Director Raybung, that was the question that I was just going to approach. I just want to share this for any listeners and folks interested in this bill. What we've kind of decided, you know, there's two components of the bill. One is sort of the hatchery component. That's more our purview here in the Fisheries Committee. And then this bill will go on to the Resources Committee, and the DNR folks will have to join that committee process because DNR has jurisdiction for the land swap. So we're not really going to address the land swap today. So I just want to kind of put that on the record so that anyone listening who is concerned about that piece of it, we want to let the Resources Committee work with the DNR folks as this bill moves forward. We wanted to focus today, you know, in our sort of purview for the Fisheries Committee is the hatchery piece of it. And so you've largely answered my questions that it's life cycle related. But the only other question I had was just about the numbers. It sounded like some folks suggested there was perhaps overproduction, and so, you know, there were more fish basically dying off, or, you know, that maybe the production levels should be adjusted, and I just wondered if you had any comment on that.
Thank you, Chair Tarr. What I would say is that this hatchery has been at this current permitted capacity since, I believe, 1992. It has not been increased. We hear a lot of people saying it's been increased, but it has not, and we can give you those records if you need them. And in fact, there's a really good evaluation document that's published, and it's available on our website, that provides a history and chronology of all the operations at Tuckahoe Bay Lagoon Hatchery through, I believe it was 2012 when that was published. And so all that's on record. The one thing that we have noticed is because of the recent warmer years, the lagoon itself on a hold up low tide tends to get very warm, and that tends to be potentially lethal to salmon. So that is one of the issues with that location, is that lagoon on a hot summer day with a lot of fish in it can become lethal. The colder the water is, the more oxygen it holds. The warmer the water is, the less oxygen it holds. And if you have a lot of fish in there on a warm day, they use up the oxygen. So that's the one issue with that location that we've struggled with. And it's actually been an issue since inception, since the hatchery was built in the 70s. So.
Thank you very much. And I know this more recently hatcheries generally are taking on, you know, there's sort of new feelings, it seems, around that. And I hope this committee will have some time. Just we can explore that as sort of a separate issue. But I think just for purposes of today, focusing on this one, my questions have been answered, and I'm comfortable with the operation that's happening there. If you do want to forward that evaluation document, Director Raybung, we'd be happy to share that with members just for further learning. Any other questions from committee members? Comments? Words of inspiration. We do, again, have Matt Wedeking and Monica Alvarez from DNR. Thank you both for joining us. I hope you heard my comments that we decided, you know, our focus here for fisheries is to deal with this hatchery piece of it, and then we will let the Resources Committee, who has jurisdiction over Department of Natural Resources, focus in more on that land swap. And that was newly introduced when we brought the bill up in that committee. And as I understand it, and Representative Vance would love to give you the opportunity to respond to this, you want to have some meetings over the summer in your district. You'd like to work with your community to, you know, sort of make sure that's the right piece of this. But again, that's sort of separate from what's happening with the hatchery operation. So I just, if you have any comments you'd like to make on that.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. For the time that we do get to be home this summer, I plan to reach out to the communities that are affected by the land swap on the Homer side, out Easton Road, with the land that the division found to make the trade, and make sure that we have open communication. I've already been reaching out to some of those community members. And then, obviously, you know, with Parks, wants to make sure that they have the engagement, and hopefully we can get over to the hatchery with some of the people who live in Tuckahoe Bay Lagoon and have that conversation so that everyone is a part of the conversation, be able to do that before we come back to session in January to be able to work on the legislation again.
Excellent. I really appreciate your willingness to do that, and that gives me a lot of comfort with what we're doing today. So if there are no other questions or comments to come before the committee, I would entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I would be delighted to make that motion. I move the CS for House Bill 52, labeled 32-LS0327-B, like boy, out of committee with attached zero fiscal note and individual recommendations.
Hearing no objection, House Bill 52 will move from committee. This will likely be our last meeting with our adjournment tomorrow. I would love for you to join me, and please, a big thank you for our awesome committee aide, Thatcher Brower.
Yes, Thatcher.
Thatcher does an amazing job, and he will be wrapping up to head off fishing himself. So we wish him well in his summer endeavors, and he is definitely my trusted resource for the work on the Fisheries Committee. So thank you so much for working so hard this session. And thank you to all the LIO staff that helped us throughout the session. In the unusual circumstances, you probably had to work twice as hard, and you're invaluable to us as well. Thank you. And thank you to all the members. It's been a great experience so far, and I'm proud that we were able to do a couple committee bills together. I hope we'll have more opportunities. And in the coming weeks, if we're here in session, there were a couple topics that people were interested in exploring, possible follow-up on transboundary mining issues, and the in-stream water flow reservation proposal from the Department of Natural Resources. So if schedules will permit, we might try to have an informational hearing, which we can do during our special session time, not hear bills, but we could certainly have an informational hearing, and we will definitely keep everyone in the loop on that. And if there's another topic that we have time for, bycatch was something that people expressed a lot of interest in, and we didn't really get to explore that at all. So I like to make good use of the time if we have it and we're here. We won't have bills, of course, like I say, but we could have an informational hearing. And if there's another topic that folks are interested in, please let us know. And, you know, we'd love to work with your office to try and schedule that. So if there's no further business to come before the committee, we are adjourned at 10:17 a.m.